Glad you guys are here. Excited to continue to worship here with you this morning. I do want to start today with a public disclaimer announcement, primarily for the wives in the room. Okay, if you've noticed your husband's heart seems like it's racing a little bit, or like if he seems like a little anxious today, it is Masters weekend. And the Masters is a golf tournament where people golf, and the drama, my understanding is the drama is building and the tension is rising. So from about 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. today, just lower your expectations just a little bit, okay? Yeah. Thank you. No, guys, we're not clapping for that. I'm not advocating for you. Lower expectations. And if you want to feel connected to him and you don't know how, just say, how's Rory doing? That's all you got to say. How's Rory doing? It's a good day. I'm going to start with a prayer here. We're going to wrap up this series we've been calling Behold today and get ready to move into what's next this spring. So let me pray for us and we'll get diving in. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for this space and this time that you've given us. Lord, thank you for each and every person sitting here today, listening online. You know our stories and you know our hearts. You know what it is that we've brought in here with us today, emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually. And you are meeting us in those needs. And that is a privilege beyond words. It's worthy of all of our praise this morning, God. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you've done. And especially, God, we ask us to be in sync with what you're doing in our lives, in our church, and in the world around us, God. So bless this time. Help us to have open ears, open hearts, open minds, Lord. Let your word do the work in our hearts today. Let your spirit do the speaking now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are in the last part of John chapter 1, okay? So we have been in John chapter 1 now for like 2 months, something like that, okay? And I get that that's a long time to spend in one chapter of the Bible. I understand, okay? If you've maybe grumbled like, we're still in John chapter 1. But I can tell you for sure that sometimes we will do like a more microwave approach where we'll jump in to do a whole book in a short period of time, or we'll do a whole bunch of passages all together at the same time. Sometimes we'll do more like the crockpot approach like we've done with John chapter 1 here, okay? But always, every time, we will be centering this time together, this time of learning and growth on the Word of God, the words that God's given us. It's our true north in the midst of a world that's told us that everything else is relative. This is our true north. So that's what we'll be focusing on. I'm really excited because Pastor Becca and Pastor Kevin, the next few weeks, are going to take us through John chapter 2, and then John chapter 3, and then we're going to go on to John chapter 4. And this is all just us praying through, God, where do you want us to go? What word do you want us to dig into? And so we're going to keep moving forward in the book of John, and that is really, really fun. Okay, so I want to look back at our journey through John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can have this open and look through with me. Pull it up on your phone so that you can see. I just want to like recap a little bit what this journey through John chapter 1 has really taught us and taught me specifically. There's three things that stand out most of all in this really, really powerful passage of John's gospel that I think we can take with us, hold with us. And the first is this, that Jesus is God's plan, okay? Jesus is God's plan. And if that's something you didn't know before, now you know it because John chapter 1 says it. If it's something you've always known or you've known for a long time, keep that in mind. It says in verse 2 that he existed, Jesus existed in the beginning with God. He's always been a part of the plan. It says that God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. So all of us have all been through Jesus all this time. In verse 14, it says, so the word Jesus became human and made his home among us. This is when the plan starts to take shape. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus came to reveal the glory of God to us. And then on Easter Sunday, just last week, we talked about verse 29 that says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the mission of Jesus Christ, This was the plan that God had from the very beginning, and that plan continues through today for all of us to bring the sin of our lives and bring the sin of the world to Jesus and Jesus alone. The second thing we learn is that Jesus is light, okay? Jesus is light. It's dark out there. It's chaotic out there. You may have some darkness in your own life or in your own family or in your own circumstances, and that darkness is real. We have to call it what it is. It's powerful. We have to note that. The darkness can be all-consuming at times. It can drag us down. It can distract us. It can cause us to go wayward, but Jesus is light. Verse 4 says, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And in verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness will never, can never, has never, and will never extinguish any darkness that we see out there. And verse 9 says this, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That is the plan, the mission of Jesus, to bring light into the world. And the third thing we learned is that Jesus is worth worshiping. I'm so thankful for our worship team and for the tone of praise and this culture that we come here on Sunday mornings and we don't want to make it about the lights or the outfits or the vibe or the anything. We don't want that. We want to make this about Jesus and only Jesus because he is worthy of worshiping every day, all day, every day, but especially when we gather in community here on Sunday mornings. Verse 12 of John chapter 1 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That's who we are. That's our core identity, is children of God through the grace of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it said, the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. That's what he gifts us, is his unfailing love, and we've seen glory, like we said. And then in verse 34, it says that he is, John the Baptist testifies that he is the chosen one, the Son of God. He is worthy of praise, worthy of worship. In any way, any shape or form you can find to do that with your lives, that is what we want to do, okay? And keep in mind that all of this, these three big ideas, all of this comes at the introduction to John's gospel. This comes at the beginning of the story of Jesus. This lays the foundation of all the rest that is to come, all the teachings of Jesus, all the miraculous acts of Jesus, all the stories of people who come to know and follow Jesus. All of this is built on the foundation of these three ideas. And so as we look ahead, we look at, okay, we've gotten through Easter, we've established this foundation, now what's next, what's coming, we can ask this question. All right, so Jesus is God's plan. Jesus is light. Jesus is worth worshiping. So what? So what? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for us collectively? What am I to do with that information? And John pivots in his gospel here at the end of chapter 1 into telling us, okay, here's what's coming. Here's what's next. Here's the so what to that. For us as a church, I want to remind us, we have this vision statement. This vision that was developed through a significant time of prayer and observation and asking intentionally, God, who do you want us to be? What kind of church are we called to be? And this is what God laid out for us, that empowered by the Spirit, that Westgate is called to be a gateway of hope, building authentic community in the church and sharing that community throughout the Twin Cities. It's exactly what Pastor Kevin and Pastor Andrew were talking about this morning. This is who we want to be, a people who are so enamored by Jesus, so in love with Jesus. We are so focused on the light that Jesus brings that we draw together and build up one another, support one another, and understand that now we take what God's given us as a church and we bring it out to the world that desperately needs hope and positivity and encouragement and light and community of their own. So we're here today, we're here every Sunday, not to just rack up points on some sort of spiritual scorecard that says, like, hey, you're like, great job, church, you're doing great things. We're not here to just get more bottoms in the seats, okay? That's not what we're about. We believe that God has chosen this body of people, this family of people, to work together to bring hope into the world that desperately needs it. How cool is that? That God chose us to be his partners. God chose us to be the people that he uses to make an impact in the world. And it's going to take followers who truly believe that the stuff that John the Baptist is declaring here is true, that Jesus is real, that he is powerful, that he is light. Followers that say, okay, I am all in. I am all in on this mission of Jesus Christ with my life. And that is where the passage points to here in the end of John. Okay, this is a lot of verses, so I just want you to see it all. Okay, it's the end of chapter 1, and it's the answer to that question. So what? So what happens next? Here's what it says. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. So this is John the Baptist. He had his own group of followers. They were standing there with him. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God. Behold," this was the message from last Sunday. There he is. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39 says, "Come and see," Jesus said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter, which we learn later on means the rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth?" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Oh, so many towns just went through my mind that I could make a joke about, but then I always like catch myself like, "You're going to offend someone, Luke. Just don't." So I can't. Okay, well, I'm going to move on. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael says. "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." I wonder today how excited you might be to see greater things than this. It's good. It's right, it's beautiful for us to come to this place and declare, "Yes, we believe in you, Lord Jesus. We see you, we appreciate you, we honor you, we praise you." It is good and it is right for us to come and sit here and do what we do from a worshiping standpoint. But I wonder if we've maybe lost sight of the fact that God wants to move things forward, that God is busy. He's active in the world around us. He's not so much about sitting and listening and soaking and absorbing as much as he is going and doing and living and praying and bringing hope to the world. And Jesus promises to these early followers, "You will see greater things even than this." And I wonder today, If we as his followers, his believers, can go into the world out there and really believe that he has greater things in store. To really hang on to that idea that he wants to be on the move. So what these stories of these four first followers of Jesus, what they show us is that as soon as they came to believe and understand that Jesus was the Messiah, there was really only one so what for them. Only one action step. And it says that they followed him. That was their response. They followed him. So if all these things are true that John chapter 1 talks about, he's the light, he's the plan, all these good things, then what? Then you follow him. You follow him. And they did this in a few different ways. Verse 38, 39 tells us that they spent time with him. I love that. Hey, where are you staying? Can we come hang with you? Can we come be around where you are? I just want to like see what's going on with you. Can we just be around you? They spent time with him, and that's good. Verses 40 and 43, you can see that they brought others along. Maybe they were feeling that there was some element of risk or that they were too excited to just do it alone. So they went and they brought others and then said, hey, will you come check out this Jesus guy with me? Will you come and see what's happening with me? And that's how the movement, right? We use that term, the movement of Jesus started. Hey, you want to, it's really cool. I think he's the guy. We should go check it out. And then what I really like is that here in verses 46 and 48, we see Nathanael brings his skepticism straight to Jesus, right? So I understand that as I stand up here and talk about, okay, well, if all this is true, then the response is to follow him, right? There's going to be some of you out there thinking like, okay, well, hang on the is this is true part. I'm not 100% sold on that. My challenge to you is to be like Nathanael here, bring your skepticism out into the open and talk to him about it. Talk to someone about it. They brought their full, honest, authentic selves to Jesus, and Jesus authentically saw them. And that's how this group of followers of Jesus, this team of disciples, ultimately then changed the world. They changed the world together. So we're going to talk about following a little bit here, okay? And when we say following at Westgate, oftentimes we don't mean what you might think you've heard for a long time, okay? Because I think what's happened is we've gotten to so accustomed in like the American church, the Western church, where we say, okay, now you follow Jesus. You come to understand what the Bible says, the Romans road, or the picture of like the cavern where it's like you're over here and perfection is over here and then the cross and whatever. Like once you intellectually know and believe that Jesus is God and that he is the Messiah and that he did what he did and that's all good, well then following him means conforming. That's the like undertone of this whole message of what we say following is. So now you have to conform to the way Christians operate, okay? You find a good church, and you go as many Sundays as you can, and you dress up really nice, and you either sing the songs really loud, or you at least stand really still so that you don't upset anyone else that is singing the songs, and you don't say any naughty words when you're around other people, right? And you memorize the right Bible verses, and then you fit the mold of what a believer is, a follower is. And we challenge that idea here. We challenge it from the standpoint of Jesus is a lot more raw than that. Jesus, if you really like read the Gospels and try to understand like who Jesus was, there's not really a neat and tidy box that we can describe of who Jesus was or what he expects from his people. When I think about the life of Jesus, I think about him out and on the move and always pivoting, always adjusting to what the next thing is going to be. Oh, there's someone in need over here. This is where we get. There's the little kids. Bring the little kid. Let's go right here. Oh, they're hungry? Oh, yeah, I guess we should probably deal with that. Here, food. Let's go. Like, I picture this Jesus where it's like this, like, energy. It's this excitement. And to be a follower of him looked like trying to just keep up. Just trying to keep up with all the stuff he was doing. And all the things he was saying and all the people he was helping and all the love that he was showing. And you're just trying to like hang on for the ride and like, okay, what are you doing here, Jesus? And we've simplified it down to this like, sit, do your quiet time, pray before your meals, go to church, rinse, repeat, you're good. And I wonder if we can recapture the idea that following Jesus is a lot more exciting than that. It's about starting every day with the belief that Jesus has a plan for you. Starting every day with the belief that he wants to use you in some way today, right now. Starting every day with the belief that his vision of what's going on in the world is a lot greater, a lot more perfect than your vision is about what's going on with the world. With the belief that he's been weaving together a story in your life, a testimony, we talked about that a few weeks ago, a testimony and a mix of skills and gifts and talents and abilities, and he's uniquely placed you in the family you're in and the neighborhood you're in and the workplace you're in so that he can use you today to do something powerful and exciting for his kingdom. It's a belief that when you're following Jesus, you always got to be ready because you never quite know what's coming next. So we talk about it here as belief means, following means listening to the voice of God and following whatever, wherever, and however he leads. And that's risky. That's stressful. That's hard to feel like that control that all of us really like to feel. But the excitement of following Jesus is knowing that he has some what's for you today. He has a where for you today. He has a how for you today on what following is meant to look like in your life. And when he calls you, the only question is, do you believe enough to go for it? Okay? So we're going to break this down. Because I want to be helpful to you all, okay? I don't just want to like throw that out there and then say, go figure it out, all right? Because it is very different. It is very different than this idea of like conforming to the norm, all right? So again, we're talking about what, where, and how, okay? And in each of these aspects, there's two components, okay? Sorry for the handwriting. Yeesh. In each of these aspects, there's two components. There's a right now, and there's a in my life. Okay? So, break it down for a minute with me and talk about what it would look like to live on this roller coaster ride of following Jesus each and every day. Let's first talk about the what, all right? So right now, meaning probably when you leave here or when you go to work tomorrow, the question is, can you constantly be wondering, God, what are you asking me to do right now? And those answers, as you get more and more used to following the will of Jesus, following the life of Jesus, those answers will become more and more surprising and more risky, okay? So a few examples for you. I'm going to try to give examples. Yesterday, our family was on a plane back from our family vacation that we took this last week, and it was a four-hour plane ride, and we have a one-year-old. And so we were like the two big boys were headphones on, like taken care of, snacks in front of them, good to go. But then we got the one-year-old, okay? So then we're like passing the one-year-old back and forth across the aisle, and he slept a little bit, that was nice, but then he was awake, and then it was like the last 45 minutes of the ride, and he was done. He was done, we were done. So I did the thing where I walked with him up and down the aisles of the plane, okay? And as I was walking, it was the strangest thing. As I was walking up and down the aisles with Benson, going back and forth and back and forth, there was this one guy. This one guy that, honestly, nothing about him looked particularly like, oh, wow. Nothing about him really, like, stuck out at all. He was alone. That maybe stuck out to me a little bit. But there was lots of people on the plane alone. But honestly, like, I could not get out of my mind this like, spotlight on this one guy. And so as I'm walking up and down the aisles of the plane, I walked past him, like, two or three times, and I started hearing God say, you should offer to pray for him. And I'm thinking, interesting timing. Yeah, I think I won't do that. But every time I'm going back and forth, and Benson's not really settling down. Every time I go back and forth, it's like this guy. And then I would turn around, this guy. And I would turn around, this guy. And it's like, okay. So then I stood back in one kind of spot. I said, okay, God, okay. So I walked over. I said, hi there. I really feel like God had encouraged me to come and offer to pray for you. What's your name? He said, Alessandro. I said, hi, Alessandro, I'm Luke. Is there anything specific I can pray for you today? And he said, no, not anything really specific. I said, okay, no problem. I'm going to go pray for you. Thanks for letting me stop. And he said, put his hand out. He shook my hand. He said, God bless you. And I walked away. Okay. Now, bad timing from my standpoint. Weird. Super weird. Not societal norm, okay, to stop by a random person on plane and offer to pray, okay? But very clear. Very, very clear. It was like this bright, shiny spotlight over this guy. And I just felt in that moment, I need to do what God has asked me to do, what God has asked me to do right now. So the question for you then is, as you go through your day-to-day, if you're truly open to following the leading of Jesus, are you ready to go for it when he gives you one of those directions, one of those promptings? And it's really, really hard to give examples because it's so likely to be something we're not going to be able to sit here and think of ahead of time, but so you can get your wheels turning a little bit. This might mean stopping and chatting with your neighbor, okay, that you don't normally stop and talk to. This might mean turn off the TV and open your Bible if that's what God wants you to do that evening. This might mean slow down and give that phone call to that person who you maybe haven't thought of for a while, but God is just putting their name in your mind. It might be a lot of different things. But we have a challenge of continuously asking God, is there anything you're calling me to do right now? All day, every day. Okay? What about in your life? In your life. This is where some of the big stuff comes in. Okay? So I'm 15 years old. I'm navigating life as a high schooler. I'm navigating my sister's journey with cancer. I'm navigating my own involvement at my church there. And God puts this very clear placement on my heart to become a pastor. Okay? That was the what. All right? All the rest of the details, all the how and all that kind of stuff came later, but it was very clear. Okay? That was my, in my life, what God called me to do. And I'm trying to just follow through with that. Now, this could be anything for you. But if you're open to hearing what Jesus is saying, it could come at you pretty hard. Could be a career change or a major financial decision. It could be a relationship that he's calling you to invest in. It could be a way of serving here at the church or in the community or spiritual practice that he wants you to build into your life, your daily routine. Could be a lot of things. But if you're open to hearing, God will give you an answer, okay? Let's talk about where, all right? So the where for us, this is going to seem a little strange, but I do believe that God places us in certain spots at certain times, okay? So if the right now example would be like, I've had moments where I really want to be doing projects around the house, and God will just say like, nope, get on the floor, play with your kids. Just get down on their level, be with them, all right? And as much as I maybe don't feel up for it in that moment, That's a calling, a leading of Jesus that I need to respond to. For you, the right now about the wheres of where God might be calling you to be could be like, okay, I'm gonna take my laptop and I'm gonna go work in like the conference room or the public area of the office building to see, maybe I'll interact with more people that way. It could be like going for a walk in a nearby park. You were planning to stay home, but God's saying like, no, go out, go be with some more people, go be around, those types of things. It could be some like strange thing. Like you might find yourself like praying this prayer and God saying, no, I really want you to go to lunch at Devani's today. And you're like, oh no, I'm going to Culver's. And he's like, no, you're gonna go to Devani's. And then you're at Devani's and all of a sudden it makes sense. You're like, oh, I was supposed to talk to that person, or I was supposed to pray for that person, or I was just supposed to be here, okay? It's strange, but it happens. The with your life aspect for Hillary and I, the big move to Illinois back when we were living in Fargo, we were really comfortable, we were really happy, but we felt God nudge us away from that comfort and that security to go to someplace, so we moved to Illinois. For you, the in your life, God may be calling you to a new place, a new apartment. You're supposed to go live in a new apartment. Could be he wants you to go walk your neighborhood and pray once a week. He just wants you to be out and about more. Could be time for you to move closer to your family or spend more time with your family or move away from your family, spend less time with your family. I don't know. Like, don't use that. Do not use that against them. We are here to listen to God, people. Okay. But you're tracking with me, right? And the last one is how. So how, I think God doesn't just tell us to do things, he also gives us the method. He gives us the way to do that. And it's always gonna be tied into who you are as a person and your unique abilities, your unique personality, your gifting. So the right now, so for me, I'm standing there on the plane, I'm holding Benson, and I'm okay, I'm gonna take the plunge, I'm gonna go pray for the guy. How do I do that? I asked that, okay, like how? And he said, tell him that I told you to do this, ask his name, and then ask if there's anything specific you can pray for. He spelled it out for me, and I'm so grateful for that because I'm kind of an awkward person. So he made it very clear, okay? Sometimes for me, the how is like in a moment where I wanna like flare up, God will say, tone down, just listen, breathe a little bit. Could be a lot of different things. For you, it might mean this moment you just need to stop and you need to think a little bit. You need to try to listen to God. It might mean you need to cut off that temptation right before it gets spiraling into something that you know is wrong. It might mean you just need to smile more. You know that it can actually change your psyche to smile more? There's lots of different things that God might call you to make changes on. And then with your life, there's these aspects. For me, in recent years, God has been challenging me to press into more relationships. And like the deep ones, the meaningful ones, the relationships with friends, the relationships with my counselor, the relationships with people who are going to invest in me and help me grow. That's a big growing edge for me. I'm an introverted person. Okay, I'm like a go-getter, I can do it on my own, but God has challenged me, and he said, no, I need you to be deeper with more people. And so that's my how, and I'm working to follow his guidance in that way. For you, in your life, it might be asking a family member or a friend to help you stay accountable in an area that you're struggling. It might mean being a more generous person. It might mean just like generally changing your vibe. Like if you're kind of generally angsty or negative, like maybe God's calling you to like lift out of that and change a little bit, be a little friendlier or something. I don't know. It's hard because with all of this, the what's and the where's and the how's and the right now's and the in my lives, with all of this, firing off examples like this isn't really all that helpful. Because when you get more and more accustomed to following Jesus in this way and letting him lead you, you're going to be more and more surprised by what he's calling you to do. And it's going to continue to be things that are unexpected. And just like these followers, these early followers of Jesus, they had to literally like, okay, so we're not following John the Baptist anymore. Now we're going to go start following Jesus. I'm not a fisherman anymore. Now I'm going to go start following Jesus. Like it's unexpected and it's powerful when it happens, okay? So I want to challenge you all to start practicing, okay? If you're not used to this, I want to challenge you to start practicing this today, because all of this, living out a following, a life of following Jesus as a disciple, starts with a simple pursuit of him. A belief that Jesus is the plan, a belief that Jesus is the light, and a belief that Jesus is worth worshiping. And when you pursue him, you might find yourselves more and more and more surprised by the way he is able to lead your life forward. Think about it this way. We oftentimes picture Jesus like sitting in a group of people, like talking amongst them, and he's teaching them something important. And they sit there and they just gaze into his eyes and they listen and they learn. And that's really, really good. You want to do that. But then there's this other picture that I saw one time, and it was a picture of Jesus walking, and the talking he was doing was over his shoulder, and all the people are just trying to keep up with him, just trying to keep up and listen and hear what he says, and okay, he's going, oh, now he's going to go do this, like what? It's this idea that we're following Jesus all the time, no matter where he leads us. So here's the four questions you can ask. What is Jesus trying to do in the world around me? What is he calling me to do right now or in my life? Where is he calling me to be right now and in my life? And how is he calling me to live right now and in my life? And if we can do this, I believe with all my heart that God is going to use this body of people to bring hope into the world that desperately needs the light of Jesus Christ. I'm excited to move on into chapter 2 and to chapter 3. I'm excited to continue to see God the ways that God is forming each of us as a church and continuing to build things up in this body of people. And I'm excited for who you all are, because the fact that you're here is the perfect place to start. So we're really, really glad. We're really glad that you're here. We do have our first Connect lunch today after service, okay? So if you're new-ish, checking things out, we would love for you to come hop over there, join us in the fellowship hall right away. There's food, chance to meet and kind of hang out with some of us and get to know the church a little bit better and know how you can get connected. Would you stand for me? And I'm gonna invite you to just receive these words from Romans chapter 12. If that looks to you like prayer posture, if it looks to you like open hands, whatever that looks like to you, just receive these two verses. I'm going to read them three times for us, and then we're going to head off to the day. Paul writes, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way we worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Father, this is our prayer. This is our hope for each and every one of us as we go off into this week. Lord, we ask for your blessing and guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.